Well, it's 6 o'clock. Let's see if we can get Kanoe Miller on the line.
Hello.
Hello, Kanoe.
Yes.
Ah, aloha. This is Kalkini Norm from KAPULP 104.7 FM in Watsonville, California. How are you?
Hi, aloha. I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, how are things on the windward side today?
Today it's absolutely beautiful.
Breaking my heart.
I'm sorry. I have a house that sits on Kaneohe Bay, and I look straight at the Ko'olau's, and today I can see every defined ridge of the mountains, and it's just gorgeous with the blue bay and the bright blue sky and the sort of sultry summer afternoon. Should I stop?
Yeah, well, you know, you're very, very good at painting pictures, and you paint pictures with your hands, and you paint pictures with your voice now.
Thank you.
Well, I have to introduce you to our listeners. Kanoe is one of the fixtures of Waikiki, and tell us a little bit about where you work and what you do.
All right. I work in Waikiki at the Halekulani Hotel. Halekulani is translated, it means house, like heaven. And I work in a big open lanai area called House Without a Key.
It's a very, very historic place, isn't it?
It's a historic place. It sits on the ocean. And a little bit about House Without a Key, there was a little short novel written by, now I can't think of his name, I'm sorry, but it's a Charlie Chan novel called House Without a Key, and it really is based on a home that sat kind of in that area where the Halekulani is now. And where I dance at the House Without a Key, if one sits in the audience, they are looking at Diamond Head to their left, the beautiful sunset and the sun going down to their right. Straight ahead is the over 100-year-old Ke'avi tree and myself and a trio performing under that tree. And behind us is the Pacific Ocean and sailboats and longboarders, paddleboarders in the background, and sometimes some swimmers. So it's very lovely.
And you've been doing that for a few years now, haven't you? I mean, you're not a newbie at this, are you?
I'm not a baby, but I actually I've been there for 32 years.
You've had the best job in the world for 32 years, haven't you?
And you know, the longer I'm there, the more I realize that. You know, when you're really young and you don't realize how lucky you are sometimes, and you just go to work. But now that I'm older and I've been there for a long time, I realize how fortunate I am to be doing what I love to do and really making people happy and creating an evening, an ambiance of beauty and romance and nostalgia.
You certainly do. I tell people that if I had only time enough to do one thing in Waikiki, it would definitely be go to the Halekulani Hotel, the House Without a Key, and to see Kanoe Miller dance. To me, that is the essence of old Hawaii, the essence of Waikiki. It really, really is.
Well, thank you so much, Norm. And I had the pleasure of seeing you there and your beautiful wife, Denise.
Yes, and Denise told me to say aloha.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we've been very, very fortunate to have been able to see you twice there. We wish we could be there every week because, it's a total sensory experience. I mean, all of your senses are involved when you're at the Halekulani. Your sense of hearing, your sense of sight, your sense of taste, because they make wonderful Mai Tais there.
So they say. I've never had one. I'm afraid to have one.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. You wouldn't be able to dance as
beautifully. No, I don't think so. Well, the dancing would change in character. It would change in character for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little bit about you and you know, what made you to be the, you know, the ultimate hula dancer in Waikiki. You know, you were Miss Hawaii.
Yes.
You were a student of Maiki Aiu Lake. Tell us, yes, a little bit about that experience.
Well, I actually started when I was about 13 years old. My mother was trying to think of a way to occupy three daughters' time during the summer of 1967, I think it was, and saw this ad in the paper where Maiki Aiu Lake was, well, she was only Maiki Aiu then. She was not married to Kahau Anu at the time, and she was offering summer classes, and it was like a deal. You could have three daughters there for $12 a month.
Wow.
Ah.
Wow.
And at the time, her halau was located on the corner of Ke'eo Moku and King. And she was also the only one that called her hula. Everybody else was called hula studio back then, but she called herself Halau Hula O Maiki, which, you know, she was the first to really begin that whole Hawaiian renaissance of pride in one's culture and really really examining who we are. And she was an excellent teacher. I remember that when I, as a student, it was different because not only did you learn the dance, but you had to learn how to research the story behind the dance. And you had to also write down the feet and the hand movements, very detailed descriptions of what you were doing. So she made hula not only dancing, but book study as well, so that you really learn the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prior to Maiki, when one went to hula, they went, and the old style Hawaiian way is you just go, you don't ask questions, you just listen and you learn. So everything had to be committed to memory, and you just had to practice and practice. But Maiki was revolutionary in that she made you write everything down and, of course, like I said, research the backstory behind every song.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that way, I think it really made everything stick a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like you're kind of passing that along also, because you're documenting it. Also, because you have this beautiful, beautiful DVD out there. It's called Kanoe Miller, Romantic Waikiki Hula. And tell us a little bit about the DVD and what you wanted what story did you want to tell when you did this DVD?
Oh, thank you, Norm. Well, thanks, first of all, for mentioning it. But I think, you know, when I dance every evening, I am asked by many people, gosh, you know, what is in your mind? Where are you? What's in your mind? What inspires you to dance the way you dance? Because the way you're dancing is very different from what we normally see. And so I was endeavoring to show people where I am in my mind when I dance. So through the DVD, I try to transport people to where I am in my mind when I dance each song. And let's take, for example, one of the songs that I perform is Sweet Leilani. And in Sweet Leilani, the lyrics are, nature fashion roses kissed with dew. And then she placed them in a bower. It was the thought of you. Well, every time I dance that song, it doesn't matter where I dance it, I always envision that I am in a garden, my garden, actually, and I always envision that it's like 5:30 or 6 in the morning. It's that early gray dawn of morning, right after a morning rain, and that I'm checking out all my blooms and my ferns and all my roses, okay? So I imagine that every time I dance. Well, when we filmed the song, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to take people to where I am in my mind. So I found this beautiful garden, which happened to be Ho'omaluhia Gardens in Kaneohe. And we filmed it first thing in the morning, about 5:30 in the morning after a heavy rain. Mm-hmm. And I filled this garden with roses. and danced in this garden, just really, what can I say, to transport people to where I am in my mind so they get the feeling of the song. You see, Mikey really wanted to do that. She wanted us as students to transfer the proper feeling of the composer into our dance and to be able to communicate that to the audience. So she had us learn always the backstory of all the songs. So what I was trying to do in my DVD is the same thing, except with this new medium of digital, you know, video, and show people how to take hula and observe nature and the world around you, bring that into your dance and express it outward to the audience.
Well, it sure is beautiful. You know, the DVD is very, very striking in that regard, because each of the individual hulas are done at a different location, and most, if not, well, a couple of them are indoor. I'm thinking only one.
Indoor.
Yeah, the Hawaiian Vamp, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that one was a song that was popular during World War II.
Yeah, it's got a particular feel to it, you know.
So I actually rented a showroom and dressed it up to make it look like it's something from the 40s during the World War II.
Yeah, even
and,
with a drunk,
hired actors.
A drunk, you have a drunk sailor there.
I have a drunk sailor in his own uniform.
Well, but the other hulas are all filmed in beautiful natural settings, and it's a striking DVD, and it's actually three DVDs in one, because, well, tell us a little bit about the way you partitioned the DVD.
Okay, you're right. The DVD has sort of three experiences in one, or three movies in one. The first is just the straight movie in which I perform 10 of the most requested Hapa Haole tunes that I get all the time when I dance. So I perform the 10 dances, and in between each dance I have a little introduction which either shows something, a scene from my daily life, or it tells a little bit about the composer. We get to meet maybe the composer's son, or sometimes I tell a little history about the song in a commentary before I actually do the dance. So that's just the straight movie, okay? Then there is the second part of the DVD is you can choose to have a second audio track. You can just choose that on the menu of the DVD to hear my dancer's commentary. And in this commentary, it's like a director's cut where you hear more of my mana'o, more of my thoughts about the dance. So I talk more in depth about the dance as you are watching me dance. So I talk about
the costuming and
the
flower.
Costuming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I talk about, you know, why I chose a particular costume, the lays, why I choose certain lays and flowers to wear, mm-hmm. and the significance of those things.
Really interesting.
Yeah,
too.
I talk about even maybe some of the composer's thoughts, and I talk about why I make certain motions or where the motions come from. And the third part of the DVD is the special features, which I interview local people or musicians, laymakers, old-time entertainers, children of the composers that are now long gone. And I interview them to give the viewer sort of even a deeper appreciation, or more a new facet of understanding, probably, of daily life, and really where all this beautiful Hapa Haole music comes from.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful DVD, and it's so beautiful to look at, and it's so informative. Lots of information, lots of things that you learn through all the commentary and the interviews, and just to watch the dances, it's just wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. I watch it over and over again, as a matter of fact.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Denise and I really love it. Well, do you ever get to the mainland? I know you do because I have some information here about you're doing a hula workshop, and you're a hula competition. You're going to be a judge at a hula competition up in Vancouver, Washington, the end of this month.
Yes. Actually, I got my arm twisted by Vicky Holt-Takamine to participate in this and be a judge. I get very nervous being a judge, you know. I'm my palms get really wet and I get real sweaty and real nervous. Because, you see, I used to run in so many pageants, and I just know what it's like to be in a competition. So then now that I have to judge it, I'm really nervous for the people that are competing. But she talked me into it. She said, you know, this would be really good for you to do, and I think the people would love to meet you. So anyway, I'm going up there. I will be at the Hapa'ali Hula Festival and Hula Competition, which will be, on the 24th is the workshops. I'm giving workshops up there. I think I'm going to give two workshops in the morning and afternoon. And then on the evening of the 24th, I believe, is the actual competition, and that one I will be judging. And then the next day is the festival, which is all day long in a park. So that would be Saturday the 25th. And I believe that it's full of music and dance, and I think the girls that take my workshop will get to perform what they learned. And I think there's food and crafts and all kinds of things for the Hapa'ali Hula or Hapa'ali music enthusiasts.
Yeah, well, if anybody is going to be traveling up in the Vancouver, Washington area during the 24th and 25th of July, there's a website. Check out Hawaiian Festival PNW, Hawaiian Festival Pacific Northwest. com, Hawaiian Festival PNW. Mm-hmm. And who knows, there might be some people from the Monterey Bay area that might be interested in going up there.
Mm-hmm.
Might just be traveling.
I hope so.
You never know. And of course, we'd always love to have the opportunity to have you come visit us here in the Monterey Bay area. That would be a dream come true. We have a Hawaiian restaurant here. You could come and get plate lunch, you know.
Where is that?
Right in Santa Cruz. It's the Aloha Island Grill.
Really?
Yeah. Timmy Hunt, a Maui boy, runs the restaurant. He's one of the owners of the restaurant.
I'm going to have to come. Normally I come through there on my way to Denver during the holidays. My husband's from Denver, Colorado, and we always stop by in California and, you know, Santa Cruz. Well, actually more like San Francisco, but I need to make a trip over and support our local people down there, huh?
Yeah, there are a number of halau here in the Monterey Bay area. There are four in Santa Cruz or a number in Monterey. I'm sure they would love to have you visit one of their practices. It would be interesting for you to see how strong Hawaiian culture is here in the Monterey Bay and how much we do support hula in the Monterey Bay.
I would love to see it. You know, I am aware of the strong cultural ties and the support that we get from the people in the Monterey Bay area. I am aware of it. I just have never had a chance to go to a halau and see it, but I'd mm-hmm. love to. Maybe, Norm, the next time I come up, I should call you again and
give me a call. Yeah, we'll help be your tour guide.
Okay,
that would be wonderful.
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah, well, Kanoi, it's been wonderful spending some time with you. I don't want to take up too much of your time because you've got a gig tonight. Six nights a week. You are at the Hale Kalani Hotel, right?
I do. Yeah.
So I'll say aloha and wish you all the best and look forward to the next time that Denise and I could be at the Hale Kalani and looking at your beautiful hula.
Well, thank you so much, Norman. Thank you for including me in your show and really creating a nice atmosphere for all the people to enjoy the music and culture of Hawaii. You know, you're really helping all of us.
Well, that's what everybody here at the station, that's what we all love to do. We're all volunteers. It's a publicly funded, non-commercial radio station here, a very, very small little FM station in the Monterey Bay area. But we love Hawaiian music, and if you love Hawaiian music, you love hula, right?
Absolutely.
Well, aloha kanoe. It's been wonderful. Look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much. Let me know, Norm, when you're going to be at the Halekulani next time.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was very, very special. Brought back a lot of wonderful memories for me to be able to talk to Kanoe. She is just so warm and genuine. You know, and while she's doing her dances in between sets, she circulates through the crowd there, talking to people, sitting down at tables, spending time with people. She really is a very, very sweet, warm, genuine person, and it was wonderful to have the opportunity to talk with her. Well, let's go to a song that she talked about on the video. Let's listen to Sweet Leilani.